Greetings and may the peace of Christ be with you, and welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale, and I'm privileged to be your host today. I want to warmly invite you to enter into another conversation in living the Catholic life. You know, first of all, I want to tell you it's my privilege to be here in front of this microphone because I meet so many interesting and educated people in our Catholic faith, and it really is a joy to have people in this studio here that really have a profound understanding of their Catholic religion. Today, we're going to take it to a different level. Today, we're going to be talking about something we haven't really talked about before in our diocese. Today, I want to welcome Carl Apple, who is the director of the Office of Communication for the Diocese of Grand Rapids. Carl, welcome.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Thank you so much. We also have here Lindsay Wilbur, who is an intern here working in mass communication. So welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Lindsay's interning with us in the Office of Communication, wants to learn a little bit about what we do, and we welcome her.
That's great. You know, Carl, you and I were talking before the program, but, I just want to first of all say that thanks be to God for our former bishop, Bishop Hurley. He did a wonderful job for our diocese here. He brought us the Cathedral Square and all the other improvements that we've had in our diocese, and we really thank him so much for his service to his people, to be the shepherd he was.
Yeah, so often in our life, you get caught up in the little things in our life, in our faith, in our work.
Exactly.
Bishop Hurley was a big picture guy.
He
always saw the big picture, you know, whether that's technology or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm here, because he saw my role there.
Yeah, and it's wonderful because he really did bring a different dimension to our diocese, and we're thankful for that. But as all things happen, things move forward. And now we are welcoming our new bishop, Bishop David Wolkowiak, and a man of a different vision, perhaps. We're still waiting for that to play out.
We're kind of figuring that out, yeah. Even I'm trying to figure that out. He's a reflective man. He's very, very smart. He's got a great sense of humor. He's also a big picture guy, you know. Yeah. I think he has things going on, but yeah, it's still early. We're still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, and it's wonderful to have that. But that being said, now that we're in this new era, you, as Director of Communications, take on a lot of different roles with the diocese. But before we go into that, you know, I think it's important that the people get to know who Carl is. And in that same light, if you could just tell us what got you into this business and what prompts you to work in the Catholic Church for this.
Yeah, it's a good question. And Bishop Wolkowiak said when he became bishop, he kind of said an interesting. I don't think he came up with this, right? But he said that if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plan.
That's right.
Right. And I love that saying because if you would have asked me 5 years ago, or told me 5 years ago you're going to be the director of communications, you know, for the Catholic Church, I would have laughed because I never would have saw that coming. But maybe a little background. I'm raised in Holland. So St. Francis de Sales in Holland was my home parish. First Communion, I was married there. I grew up in Holland. I have a large family. We all grew up Catholic.
Okay.
My parents, God rest their soul, they raised us that way. And but when I was 17, I went off to the Army. So I spent 4 years in the Army, and I did a number of things. It was a great experience. Traveled. I went to spend a year in Korea even.
Wonderful.
And and you know, it was in 93 to 97. So if you know, it was a different experience than our soldiers, Marines, and airmen get now with there's so many conflicts going around the world.
Right.
That was peacetime. So I basically did my 4 years, came home, went to Grand Valley State. You know, eventually a bachelor's degree, master's degree. Met my wife Bridget.
What were your degrees in?
I have a bachelor's degree in broadcasting and then a master's degree in general communication.
Okay.
I emphasized crisis communication. So more like public relations, which isn't really anything I had any experience in. But I was working at a TV station. So a lot of people know me when they kind of know my name. That name's so familiar. How do I know that name? Well, then the reason is because I was on TV for so long.
I thought it was Carmel Apple.
Gosh. If I've heard that. Deacon Jim, you have the name Apple on your uniform
for
4 years. You hear just about anything. But So I started working at Fox 17. I mean, I had a few other media jobs before them, but that's really when my career was really defined by that.
Okay.
And so, I was at Fox 17 here in Grand Rapids for a number of years. Started out behind the cameras, like a cameraman, if you will, a photojournalist, and a job I loved and take very seriously because I think, you know, you can really tell stories with pictures. I truly believe that. And so I did that for a few years and eventually kind of weaseled my way on camera, I guess. And our you know, old news director, Tim Dye, he really believed in me. He went on great success in Detroit. And he really believed in me and really helped me sort of nurture my career. And eventually I kind of came to a fork because I wanted to be a sports anchor. That's really what I wanted to do, sports anchor.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is fun, and he gave me opportunities to fill in. So I actually got to sort of pursue a dream, and that's anchor sports on the news. And
yeah,
it's incredibly stressful, but fun, and I got to do that a few times. And eventually they were going to hire kind of a number two guy, and the news director kind of said to me, you got to decide what you want to do. Are you going to be a news guy or a sports guy? Because I was doing both. And you know, you sort of have to pray on that and think and reflect. And I was really more suited for news. And so I went on.
But you love sports also.
I like sports a lot. Yeah, it's fun. And you can find ways where the two meet, you know. But
right.
Yeah, I was more suited for news. And I think ended up really being defined as sort of an investigative reporter towards the end of my career. And I think there are ways where your faith and your job intersect. And you know, if you want to test that, you know, all of us have that from time to time, but if you really want to test that, become a journalist.
Yeah,
you know,
I would think so.
Become a journalist because you'll end up doing some stuff that you know maybe you're not proud of from time to time.
Yeah.
But you have to figure out a way to have even just a small impact.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can figure out, hey, they all told the story this way, this is how I'm going to tell the story.
Let me ask you this question, Carl. When you're looking from that perspective, I would assume that you have to try and find some sensitivity and how you can present it in a Christian fashion, not only that, a Catholic fashion, and hold fast to your faith. And yet many of the media probably would push back from that, I would assume.
Yeah, well, there are many roads to the same destination,
right?
And there are interviews I didn't get because I wasn't willing to take a certain road.
Right.
Right? And I think that many of my colleagues, I think they had a pretty good crew there, people who were willing to do it the right way. And but you don't always see that, and that's when you knock on that door after someone's lost a loved one, you know, and you really want that interview, and it's about how are you going to go about it.
When you say the right way, you're speaking of the radio way, or what they would consider to be the right way.
I'm talking about sensitivity when dealing with people who have gone through extreme crisis.
Okay.
I'm talking about not manipulating facts to get a splashier TV news story.
Right.
I'm talking about those kinds of things that I think you can do, still tell an accurate, quality, compelling news story, be it anywhere, radio, TV, newspaper, but be true to the situation that's going on. Be true to your faith. Be true to what you believe. You know, and I more than one person said to me over the years, you know, how are you doing any good? How are you doing any? You're talking to these people and you're putting them on the news after they've had a tragedy. What good are you accomplishing? That's a very good question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I can tell you, many times I've had people, including the police, after the story, say how much they appreciated.
I can imagine.
How I conducted my business, how I asked questions. Maybe it's a hug after the interview. Maybe it's a, hey, here's my card. I don't want to bother you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Listen, you know, I'm gonna take off.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it's how you conduct your business. And sometimes, Deacon Jim, that pays off.
Oh, I'm sure it does. You know, the problem with much of our culture today is we want to embellish the stories rather than give the facts. And it can lead to some confusion. But I can understand why we need to talk to those people that have those tragedies, because it really is an understanding of someone else in their life maybe going through the same thing. Someone else may need to hear the story, which will really bring them to some peace and freedom in their life and see that things can work for the best for those who trust in God. But that's the important part that we have to learn.
And it's, you know, sometimes, you know, nowadays, it's not uncommon to go to a funeral and then they play a video about the person's life. I mean, that's not uncommon.
Yes.
Of course, 20, 30 years ago, I bet that would have been seen as kind of strange, but now it's very common. Life stories, funeral home, when my mother died, they did that. Well, you know, I would talk to people and I'd say, we want to honor your husband.
Exactly.
We want to talk about how he lived and what a tragedy this is, you know, and I'll never forget. I did a story about a father and a husband who was electrocuted doing some sort of a work. He worked for a company doing work on a wire. He was electrocuted and died. Freak accident. And, you know, I had an in with the family, or the family told me, you know, if you want, go. They're all at this house mourning together.
Yes.
And so I just pulled up and a family friend greeted me. They saw our news car. And, you know, what an uncomfortable situation that is. You know, I'd like a picture if it's not too much to ask. It would be great if somebody wouldn't mind saying a few kind words, and you get into that. Well, the story runs. and I ran into a family friend a week later. They said that the man's little daughter watched that story 30 times online.
Praise be to God.
Just kept watching it over and over because it was so touching about how great her dad was and what he was a good guy, you know?
And there's healing in that, too.
There is a little. You have to believe there is, you know?
Yes. And to hear it 30 times means that there's something that's touching her soul and not only bringing her father back alive, but giving her comfort through that time. And I thanks be to God you can do that. That's, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, it doesn't always happen. But you try to make, even if it's just a little change, you try to make that little change in what you have control of in your world.
Yes.
If you're coaching kids or you're selling insurance, it doesn't matter. You know, if you could just do it a little different than everybody else, sometimes that can make a big, big difference, you know?
So here you were doing this type of journalism.
Yeah.
How did you migrate into the Catholic journalism?
Well, you know, the media landscape's changing, I think. And you know, I think, you know, you can look – MLive's a great example of that. I think they're still doing great work, but it's changing, you know? And I think a lot of their older older reporters, the seasoned reporters who, you know, probably making more money and so forth. Well, they were shown the door in many cases. And you see that at the big TV stations, too, you know. And what that does is, you know, it makes your staff younger. And by age, in my late 30s or mid 30s, I was starting to look like the old guy in the newsroom, you know. And that's so strange to think of, but that's how it is. And so eventually you think, okay, am I going to be a news anchor? Am I going to be a manager of some sort of like a news director? You know, I had a graduate degree, so that's not too impossible.
Right.
Some people sort of assumed I was going to do that. But, you know, then I really thought, no, I think I'm going to move on and take a job. Public relations, marketing, communications, working for an organization. And I went on a few interviews. It just didn't happen. And eventually a job opened up at the diocese. And I, to be honest, thought the more I looked into it, the more I thought, what a great job, you know? I mean, it's really like a small publishing company.
Did you ever have a sense of wanting to work in the diocese?
Never, not before. No, I didn't really. I'd love to tell you that I'd been called all my life and that, you know, when I was a small child. No. It was really, Deacon, not something I considered. But I worked with Mary Harmon very well, who had my job for many years before me. She's at Aquinas College now.
Yes.
And always thought that she was a real pro. And, I mean, there's just some people that – that you deal with that really just don't know what they're doing and they're hard to deal with and you can't get them on the phone and they just have no idea how the media works. She was always kind of a get it person. And that probably colored my vision of what that job looks like. And she did it with such grace. I thought, well, gosh, I can do this, you know? And I applied. I mean, it was, you know, as you might imagine, a long process of interviews and things. I mean, it happened for me.
Now you came in during when Bishop Hurley was here, correct?
That's right. When my first day on the job, Bishop Hurley closed the door of his office and sat me down. With Bishop Hurley, you always knew that, if you sat at his desk, it wasn't a long talk, but if he stood up and walked over to his little coffee table or whatever, and he sat down next to me, he knew it was a long talk. And I thought, okay, well, you know, I'm learning that here on my first day. And he had a long talk with me.
Well, you were at the coffee
table. I was at the coffee table. I thought, okay, well, this is interesting. So, we had a long talk, and he said, and of course, I barely knew Bishop Hurley. I mean, I hadn't worked with him. So, and we had a long talk, and he made it very clear that days before I was hired, he sent his letter to Rome because he had his 75th birthday, and he explained how that works.
Exactly.
And said, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. It could be a year. It could be 2 years. I really don't know. And that's kind of an interesting spot to be in when you start your first day of work.
Exactly.
But I think I was blessed to be with him a year. I learned a lot. So
exactly. You know, and when you have that, you're always planning for the future. And it's a little tough to plan for the future with your bishop if you don't know who it's going to be.
It is.
Yeah. But you made it through it.
Yeah. I made it through. And, I think I learned a lot about leadership from him. He had a certain charism, you know, and he had a way that he did things. And I think I learned a lot about the job. He has we all have a unique set of experiences. But with his experience in the Archdiocese and some of the high-profile things that he had to deal with the sexual abuse crisis, you know, if you're a communications person, he's really somebody that you could learn a lot from.
And of course, you had to step into that role along with him as a director of communications and work with all these problems going on, correct?
Yes, though in many respects, I feel like I'm coming into it after, a lot of the – a lot of the bullets have flown, you know. I'm kind of coming into it after the smoke's starting to clear. I think, at least my perception is that we're viewed differently than we were 8 years ago, you know, or 6 years ago, you know, and that's a good thing. Yeah.
And there was such a need for sensitivity in this whole situation too, particularly with the scandals that were going on within the church and unfortunately some of the priests that we had to deal with. That really required a great deal of sensitivity in dealing with this.
And you know, it might never be gone. It will never be gone. Yeah. That for people's perceptions. I mean, that will be there forever. And
you know, I've said it before in a homily, and I'll say it here. You know, the sad part of it is that we as Catholics sometimes can dwell on the 0.1% of those that have let us down, rather than concentrating on those 99.9% of our Catholic priests who just do a marvelous job. And I think it's, again, it's all a perception, and we need to change that perception, because God bless our priests who do such a marvelous job for us.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you're cutting Deacon Jim to the heart of my job, you know, and that's changing perceptions or maintaining positive perceptions.
Exactly.
And you're right about that. Our priests are great. And I've had a chance. I mean, I think I'm blessed to be in a position where I get to meet these guys,
yes,
talk with them, have lunch with them, have coffee with them. And that's been a pleasant surprise in my job. I wouldn't have known. I really, you know your pastor, right?
Yep.
You might know your associate pastor.
That's right.
And that's about it. I mean, most people don't know 50 priests. You know, they don't. And so it's really cool to get to know them and to, you know, take advantage of the resources that they give our church.
Yes. Now, I understand our new bishop, Bishop David Walkowiak, is also a canon lawyer.
He is.
So he's well versed in the teachings of the church and the laws of the church.
Yeah. He knows all that stuff. And, you know, it's every once in a while. I mean, I have a lot of people in that office I can, because there's questions. Yeah. I don't know anything about this stuff in many cases.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, well, what does this mean? I've come across this website or this statement or this thing. What does this mean? And, you know, Monsignor Bill Duncan's right there. Bishop's there. I don't see him quite as much. But, and of course, we have, you know, folks in the tribunal. There's always folks that can help answer those questions.
Exactly. There's a friend of mine. It's Father Dennis Morrow. And you know Father Dennis Morrow.
Sure.
He's also a canon lawyer. And I have to tell you a funny story. Father Dennis Morrow, I apologize beforehand, but it's too funny to not pass up. We were in training going through our training for a diaconate, and Father Morrow was teaching us. He said, I'm a canon lawyer. And he said, you know what the job of a canon lawyer is? And we said, no. He said, it's to suck all the love out of the gospel. But he was, you know, he's obviously being facetious, but it was an understanding that we need laws in our church. And sometimes it appears that they're taking the love out of the gospel, but in reality, they're enforcing it and make us have a clear understanding. So let me turn to Lindsay a minute here. Lindsay, have we scared you off yet?
No, it's been a joy to listen, actually.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your background, why you're interested in this.
Well, I grew up in Michigan, but I went to school at the University of Utah, and I got a degree in mass communication.
Okay.
And I came back here thrilled to have an internship with the diocese.
I think you forgot one. You were also, you said something about ballet.
Ballet. I have a degree in ballet.
Yes,
as well.
That's important, too.
A unique combination.
Yes.
But my interest in the Catholic media in particular is that I think the media is a great place for the church to be active.
Yes.
Because the media has such a huge role on our culture. And today our culture is very secular, I think.
Yes.
And so for us to be active in what individuals hear on the radio and see on TV, that will influence the church's role in our culture.
Absolutely. You know, Lindsay, it's I'm not going to say it's unusual, but we're coming into a different time in our culture with our young people. We see more of a secularization or a moral relativism that's starting to take over in many of our younger people's culture.
Yeah, you do your thing, I'm going to do mine. We'll go our separate ways.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly right, Carl. And so I see in front of me this young woman here who has a grasp of her Catholic faith and who understands that we do live according to a Catholic teaching. And yet we need to bring that to the forefront in our media, because many times it can get distorted, or what we believe can become distorted. And that's why your roles, both of you, Carl and Lindsay, is going to be so important in our Catholic Church, because people need to hear the truth, and they need to hear the truth presented in love.
And Lindsay, you know, we have a term in the news business, don't bury the lead, right? So if you got the lead story, don't bury it in the newscast. Lindsay was in Rio.
I was, yeah. It was just an amazing experience to be in a country where Catholicism was just so prevalent, where
yes,
it wasn't, you know, faith wasn't so personal that it wasn't shared with the people around you. They were just not.
And we're talking about World Youth Day. We should probably explain.
Yes.
We're talking about World Youth Day.
Oh, yeah.
You were there,
yep.
Yeah?
Indeed. Yep. World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro. And I just enjoyed being with people who expressed their faith,
yes,
regardless of, you know, it was respectful to whoever was around, but we shared it in a way that no one was afraid to share exactly who they were.
See, in this Western culture, we were timid because we were fearful of showing our faith and be grounded in our Catholic Church. And for somehow we feel there's going to be some repercussions for being men or women of Christ in our Catholic faith. So that's a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. And how long were you there?
2 weeks. Two weeks. Yeah. And just like you were saying, I think we want to be so careful here in the States,
yeah,
to respect other people, that we almost kind of have to like forget our faith in order to like to, because to say my personal feelings would disrespect you if you disagree.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's true. I mean, if we disagree, that's okay. Absolutely okay. But it's good to stand for who you are,
yeah,
and have that conversation.
I think sometimes we're more afraid that the truth will not set you free. Mm-hmm. And so we hold back on the truth. But, you know, again, the truth should never be offensive.
Right.
And when we here in this culture sometimes have that pushback from speaking, mm-hmm, the truth, it does not lend well to our Catholic Church. And we need to learn to be more vocal in what we believe. But again, we do it in love.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do it with a big hammer. We do it with our arms embracing the other person.
I think that's a great way to say it. We have a fear that the truth won't set us free.
Yeah.
That's a great way to say it.
Yeah, it really is. So here we are in this new era of our Diocese of Grand Rapids. It's exciting.
It is. Yeah, it is exciting. And, like, you know, I think I mentioned earlier, yeah, we're getting to know Bishop Wolkowiak.
Yes.
And, I mean, let's keep in mind that a few months ago, this guy was a parish priest. You know, he was a pastor of a parish.
In Ohio.
In Ohio, yeah, in Chagrin Falls.
Chagrin
and I'm not Mr. Ohio, so I can't tell you
I've
much
been
about
there.
It. Oh, you have?
I've been to Chagrin. I have a friend there.
Oh, you really? What's it like?
It's a nice town, a beautiful area, many Catholic churches around there. I've never been exposed a lot to the Catholic diocese over there, but I've visited the area. But it's a very, very beautiful place over there.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, a few months ago, he was a... You know, he was a pastor,
mm-hmm.
And so now he's the bishop. So I think he's got to learn who we are, you know, and what does priests want to say,
right?
And get to know his staff a little bit, and get to know some of the families in West Michigan. I mean, he's traveling every Sunday. He's at one or two different parishes.
Right.
I mean, we're trying to put that on our website, dioceseofgrandrapids.org, as quick as we can to get photos on there, because it's kind of neat to follow him.
Absolutely.
You know, but so, yeah, I mean, he's getting to know people, but it'll take a while, you know, before he gets to know everybody. And I think a lot of people, what are your plans? What are your priorities? But he's left with, you know, I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing here, but let's walk before we fly.
Exactly.
You know?
He needs to prioritize what he needs to do in the diocese, and he needs to take a good look at it to understand what is lacking or what's it there and what needs to be filled in and all those other things. So that's a prudent man who does that. But my big important question to you is, are you a golfer?
Me? No. Oh, I am not a golfer.
Because the bishop likes golf.
He does like golf. He's a big golfer. In fact, many have asked him, and I know a few people he's had the chance to take them up on their offer.
Yeah.
So I suppose if you want a few minutes alone with the bishop, ask him out to golf and lunch. That's probably a great way to get alone with him.
It is. I did the opportunity to sit with the bishop for an hour, and we had a great conversation, and it was very fulfilling and enlightening, because he really was a man of faith. I felt he was a shepherd, and he really has a heart for the diocese, I know, so that's important. So. But here you are, Carl. You're in your now. This is your going into your second year.
Yeah, that's right.
For the second year, probably you have a lot on your plate right now.
Yeah, I mean, it might be appropriate to talk a little about this job, because I think,
yeah,
you know, you hear communications director, and I think a lot of people immediately jump to spokesperson.
Exactly.
And in fact, I've been introduced as such at public events as the bishop spokesperson.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, there's a lot more to the job than bishop spokesperson. But it's important, and that does happen from time to time. But yeah, and I think that there are some brands that I'm responsible for, like Faith Grand Rapids Magazine.
Okay.
A lot of people are familiar with that. I guess I would be the editor-in-chief would be my title of that.
Okay.
So I work with a managing editor, and we put that out. We have many freelancers, very talented, faithful writers and photographers who help us with that. So there's a magazine. There's the televised mass from the cathedral that's been on the air longer than any televised mass in the United States.
Yeah, that's been on a long time.
Yeah, it's been on a long time. So there's the mass, and we have what I would call a vibrant website,
okay,
that everybody's welcome to visit as much as they want, because we're constantly refreshing it with new content, dioceseofgrandrapids.org. And it's a lot more work.
Now, you don't actually work on the website, do you? You have people that do that? Or do you participate in that?
I don't necessarily click the zeros and the ones necessarily, but I on a day-to-day basis, I'm saying, hey, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that, let's move this, let's add that, this is getting old, and so on and so on. Let's revamp this section, but you're right. Yeah, I have a talented staff who's willing to help me out with some of that.
Because that's a lot of work.
Oh, my gosh, it's so much more work than I would have thought. Maintaining that website is really a job. And you know, as we know nowadays, it isn't just a website, right? It's a website, and then there's a Facebook site.
You know,
Twitter, and
exactly. I'm like the guy I watched on a commercial one year when they were talking about the internet and computers, and talking about my literacy. And the man was sitting there, and he was sitting in his easy chair, and his wife came up to him because he was in total shock, and she said to him, "What's wrong?" He says, "I just erased the internet." He thinks he had the power to do that on a computer. That's how I am with a computer. That's why I appreciate people in that position who can really do that type of thing, because, you know, I don't have that skill.
Yeah. I feel like certainly there are people out there who are much better promoters than I am. But I think that being in TV news in the last 6 years, it really, you know, being forced on a day-to-day basis to provide content on multiple platforms with concurrent deadlines. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, you really get a sense of what that's like. And so going to the church and saying, all right, here's what we're doing right, here's what we're doing wrong, and trying to have a vision for that kind of mass communication.
Exactly.
You know, it's important.
Well, now I'm assuming you probably have contact too with Dave Faber.
Absolutely.
Who is the head of the diocese? For the schools.
Yeah,
superintendent of the schools.
I think Dave and I hit it off right away, and we've been, I think, fast friends and colleagues. We work together very closely.
Wonderful.
And he's, you know, talk about a guy with vision. You know what I mean? He's a guy with vision, and he knows. He kind of knows what we're up against too, right?
Exactly.
He knows the good stuff, and he knows, hey, look, we got to kick our butt in the gear here.
That's right.
And advancing the schools and promoting them and selling them, and that's what he does.
Exactly.
And I've been supporting him in any way I can, and that, you know, that involves providing communication support for the schools and the high schools and helping any way I can.
Exactly. You know, and that really is a task for our Catholic diocese, is the rejuvenation of our Catholic schools, and to really have that, help them have that profound understanding of the importance of being taught in a Catholic institution. Lindsay, were you taught in a Catholic institution?
I wasn't.
You were.
And I going to a public university too. There were so many times I was like, I should have gone to a Catholic school. I should have gone to a Catholic school because. Yeah. Being among I was in Utah, so I was among a lot of Mormons, and
of course.
It really makes me look for my Catholic community. And thanks to St. Henry Newman, we had the Newman Center. But
yes, what is it that kept you close to your faith through all those years?
You know, I think it was the community in the parish.
Okay,
because on my own, I always love how the Dominicans say, you know, they have their four pillars, and part of it is, you know, private prayer, but also community prayer.
Yes.
And they emphasize understanding your faith as a part, it's a social thing that you have to you interact with others. And it really does help me, it helped me to get closer to God by being with others who are also close to God. So I think it was the community.
Because being away from your family and your home parish can be a little bit tough.
It was,
and
indeed.
I can imagine. And it's only through the grace of God that you hang on to that faith, and you have to want it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you did.
Indeed, I did, and I looked. For, I mean, I started working at my parish there, and just by being in that environment, I studied the faith more.
Yeah.
I prayed more. I prayed with other people more, and I learned so much. And so definitely, when you have to look for it, but just being in that environment.
Yes.
Was it a helpful thing?
For those young people who might be listening to us today, listen to Lindsay, because here is a woman who's walking the walk every day, even though she had the chance to walk away from her faith, and I shouldn't say had a chance, but she could have been influenced away from it. She drew closer to the Lord through another parish. So seek the Lord wherever you're at, because it's important. We at my parish, St. Thomas the Apostle, we have many. We work with Aquinas College, and they're away from their homes, and it's really an important situation where we bring them into the church and really continue to talk with
Father
them.
Jim's really embraced that ministry, I think.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has, and that's Father Jim Chulich has been wonderful in that, and thanks be to God he does it. So we looked at that.
Yeah, I ran it when I was in the Army. You know, I mean, talk about an environment where you can stray. Oh, I mean, you know,
of course.
And I did, sure. You know, I mean, there were points where why would I even do this? Who really cares? You know, other times. You know, but yeah, I found my way back, and when I came back to West Michigan, I really wanted to get more involved. And I found myself doing that in little ways. But I remember, you know, having one of the most sacred masses I ever attended was underneath a camouflage net in the middle of the
I can imagine.
In the middle of the desert with one, it was a young woman who was another soldier like me. So it was the two of us and then a pastor who we barely understood. He was European, I think. And we were in California. We were overseas. But I was like, looks like I'm doing the first reading and you're doing the second reading. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, that was it.
And isn't that the beauty of our Catholic faith, that you can be under that tent
and it's accessible.
The same mass.
Indeed.
It's the same liturgy, and we don't even have to understand the words because we know what's going on in that mass. So praise be to God. But, you know, that is the beauty of our church. With that being said, let's get down to the meat and potatoes of what it is in your job you're doing now for the diocese.
Well, you know, if you look at – I hate to get into the statistics, but if you look at the statistics from CARA, the Center for the – CARA, Center for the Applied Apostolate, pardon me, I'm messing that up.
That's all right.
Anyways, CARA is, they do research, and they do research on the church.
Okay.
And if you look at those statistics, you know, they paint a picture, right, in the United States that shows that if you're, you know, if our church is getting older.
Exactly.
Right? We're getting older. We need more young families.
Exactly.
We need to talk to people. We need to reach out. The new evangelization is all about that.
Yes.
You know, and I think having Pope Francis, we haven't even really talked about Pope Francis. And I mean, I think he's given us an opportunity.
Yeah.
I really think he has.
Pope Francis has really come into his own, really an understanding as a shepherd. One of the things I remember that he says is the priests need to smell like the sheep. Mm-hmm. And it's really an understanding of being with your people. And this is something I think it's a fresh beginning for our church again to really re-examine what we're doing in our parishes.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you believe, as I do, that Pope Francis is giving us an opportunity because people are looking at him and looking at our church in a way that they never have before. Yeah. I truly believe that, at least in the last 15 years.
Yep.
And so, you know, I believe that that's an opportunity and that doesn't happen every day.
No,
so what do we do? What do we do to take advantage of this opportunity?
Yes.
You know, I think I'm also blessed to have a bishop who's willing to, you know, sort of he's very open-minded to ideas. And to say to him, look, I think in a response to widespread secularization, something needs to be done. So what we're going to do is we wanted to create some messages to go out into the community. We could call them TV commercials.
Okay.
So if we're going to put these things out there, we're talking about commercials on TV, we're talking about commercials on radio, English and Spanish.
All right.
If we're going to do this, we have to have a message. And our message is, we are always here and you are always welcome.
Now, I think we might have that for us here. And I'd like, at this time, if we could play that message.
The Catholic community in West Michigan is always changing, and we are always here. Always here to spread the gospel of Christ. Always here to help people discover and renew their faith. Always here to protect life in all its stages. Always here to educate our future leaders. Always here to embrace and celebrate diversity. We are always here, and you are always welcome.
The Catholic Diocese of Grand Rapids. Learn more at thediocesofgrandrapids.org.
So what you can't see is there's a video version. Now the video version, you know, I've seen it probably 75 times. I still get a little choked up when I see it because you're seeing images of adult baptism. You're seeing images of a Vietnamese mass. You're seeing images – Vietnamese mass. I say it like it's a different mass.
Yeah.
You know, Vietnamese Catholics singing in a choir. You're seeing images of somebody volunteering at God's Kitchen. These kinds of things that sort of – hey, it's 30 seconds. You can only do a little. But kind of, sort of symbolize who we are, what we do.
Exactly.
And I think help us stay relevant.
Yes. And the important word in that commercial is always, because it really is an understanding that church always is and always will be. And regardless of what society believes, the church will always stand here and be here for them. Lindsay, you must have felt that all the time in your life.
And I was lucky to be raised Catholic, but yeah, like you say, when things outside the church are unstable, like, I mean, right now the government, even, you know, with the shutdown and everything,
yes,
so unstable, but the church is consistent, like you say.
The church stays consistent, and that is wonderful. So, Carl, how are we going to be running those?
All right. So these, from mid-November to mid-January, they'll be on WZZM, and then they'll be on Holy Family Radio, in addition to secular radio, and La Poderosa. Okay. We're working with them and hoping to put together a partnership with them where they're run in Spanish.
Okay.
But, you know, the message here is that commercials are just commercials, you know, and if it's like having a big red sign on the side of your church, all right? Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you go to the church with the big red sign on it. And you say, yeah, that's St. John's. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. Okay, the sign did its job, right?
Exactly.
The sign did its job. It started a conversation, but it's up to us to continue that conversation. Yeah, I go to St. John's. It's the best darn church in the world. You got to check it out. I'm Catholic. What, you're not Catholic? Hey, dude, no big deal. We love right. everybody. Come on in. Third Sunday of the month, it's for family, new families, whatever, you know? And so what we're doing is we're working with our Office of Pastoral Services, because when it comes to, you know, when it really comes down to it, that's not my area of expertise. But we have people in the diocese, you know, who really are good at that kind of thing. So we're working with our Office of Pastoral Services, and what they've done is they have made the focus of their fall pastoral ministers gatherings,
yes,
how to make your church more welcoming, how to make your parish more welcoming. And so, you know, some I would imagine are doing it very, very well. Others maybe would like to learn a thing or two,
exactly,
you know, and so they're going to share best practices and work together so that, you know, when these spots come out, we all feel invested. We all own it.
Right.
And we can all talk about it.
That is exactly right. You know, and here's a good chance for us to reach out to the peoples in the pews right now who will hear these messages coming through on these commercials, both radio and television. And this is the time in our church where we need to prepare, a response for what's going to happen on the television and the radio, and be able to catechize those that don't understand. This is a marvelous time to start brushing up on your Catholicism and be the voice for the people who don't know. Wouldn't you agree with that, Lindsay?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Look out for resources, because they're all over, like you say. Just keep looking for them.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's I've heard Bishop Walkowiak say, and I agree with him, that people are afraid to talk about their faith with other people because they're afraid they're going to say something dumb.
Exactly.
They're afraid they don't know everything. Hey, listen, I don't know anything, okay? I don't know anything. I was a TV reporter a year ago,
yeah,
right? I didn't go to a Catholic school. I sure as heck didn't go to a Catholic college. We didn't read the Bible every night when I was growing up.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I don't know anything. Every day I'm learning something. But you know what? You got to take chances.
Not only that, but you're open to it.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
By the power of the Spirit, He will continue to bring that into your life, because once we're open to the Spirit and the power of God, then He starts to infuse us in our mind with the wisdom that He wants us to have.
And Deacon Jim, if I'm with reporters sometimes, mm-hmm, well, what's that mean? Why do we do this? How can we do this? What's up within the cathedral? There's a thing that I don't know what that is. Sometimes I can provide the answers, often I can't, you know,
yes,
but I can, you know, I can start a dialogue with them about it.
Exactly.
And then I can say, you know what, Father such and such would love to explain this, or, you know, I can find somebody who can get that answer, or let's Google that, you know what I mean? Because it's hard. It's just, our faith is, it's a big church, you know?
It is a big church, and, you know, there's many different points of views in our church, which we embrace, but there's only one truth.
Sure.
And that's the reality that we live in.
That's right.
You know, I heard a powerful story. It was a popular priest who was on an airplane, and he was traveling, and there was a businessman sitting next to him. True story. And he was reading the Wall Street Journal, and he looked in the Wall Street Journal, and there was an article about the Catholic Church, the International Church. And he said, Father, it says in this article that 50% of the Catholics don't believe in the presence of the Eucharist. He said 60% believe that cohabitation is okay. 50% of Catholics don't think you have to go to church on Sunday. It said at least 50% don't see the need for reconciliation. He looked at the priest and he says, what does that tell you about your church? And the priest looked at him and he said, it tells me nothing about my church. It tells me that over 50% of the Catholics have lost their faith. That's what we're up against. This is really an understanding of bringing people back into the church.
And you know, I don't want that to be lost in this because, right. you know, you put something like that on TV or on the radio. Hey, it might not always get 18 new families to every parish.
Exactly.
I don't have any illusions about that. But, you know, even if somebody who just attends once every few months looks at that and goes, I'll be darned. We got a pretty good church around here in West Michigan.
Exactly.
I need to start getting to Mass. Hey, then it's done its job. You know?
Exactly. And that's important. So when these commercials start, then we'll what else are you going to be rolling out for the diocese?
November's Faith Magazine will be devoted to stories of evangelization.
Okay.
And which I think is important. And so I don't want to give it away who we're focusing on, but some pretty good stuff.
You know, and for those that haven't picked that magazine up, I highly encourage you to read it because there are some beautiful articles in there about conversions, reconversions, about just normal Catholic lives who have really gone to a deeper process of the Catholic faith. And it really is inspiring to read. And Lindsay, is that something you'd be interested in looking at in the...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's more of a journalism on that, right? With the magazine?
For sure.
Yeah.
In fact, Lindsay actually came to us. She wanted to write for Faith. She said, you know, are there any opportunities for me to help with Faith? And, you know, Faith comes out 10 times a year. There's not, you know, there weren't that many opportunities. I said, well, why don't you come intern in our communications department? And I said, and on her second day, I said, you know, I'm going to talk to Deacon Jim at the radio station. You might be interested in checking it out. And she said, yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to see how that works. And here she is on the radio.
So kind of dragged you in right away, didn't we?
I wasn't expecting this. It's a pleasant surprise. So.
You know, and that's part of media. Probably the things you least expect are going to happen. Mm-hmm. So we're preparing you in advance. How's that?
Yeah, it's a different perspective for sure.
Now, do you like to write?
I do like to write.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that would be something that would really be advantageous for you, looking at something like Faith Magazine.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm so impressed by the writers you get. And Carl, when you said that your writers are freelance and they're not all from the area, it's like, you know, I should have figured that out because the stories they have, it's just... You just can't have those types of experiences every day, and the way they articulate is very impressive.
Yeah, there's a combination of the content that people read in Faith comes from Faith Lansing, which is where the company that publishes that is based.
Okay.
And some of that is, you know, you'd call it a syndicated, you know, but it's syndicated among that group. And then, of course, much of that content is local, like, of course, Bishop Wachowiak's column, Father Ron Hutchinson, Monsignor Ancona.
Right.
And then the local stories of faith that come from our parishes, of course, are local. But then there's, we combine that with some of the stuff out of Lansing, and I think it's a pretty good product. So
it is. It's excellent.
So, and I, of course, you know, I should at least use this opportunity to say to people that Faith Magazine is supposed to go to every registered parish in the Diocese of Grand Rapids, and we're doing the best we can to update that database. So feel free at any time if you think you should be getting that and you're not, and you can hear this and you think, well, we're not getting that, by all means, contact your pastor and your parish office first. And if you want to gift a subscription, maybe you have a college student who's away at college, like Lindsay was. You can do that. It's really not expensive. It's, I think, $20 a year or something.
Right.
I mean, it's really cheap, and you can have that mailed anywhere in the country, friend, family member, somebody. It really, Bishop Hurley saw that magazine as a tool of evangelization.
Yes.
I'm not sure we're fully using it, and that was one of my missions when I came here. We're putting so much money and effort and prayer into this magazine. We want people to read it. Gosh darn it, right? So, you know, that's what we're trying to do.
My sense is it's starting to pick up, though. I've talked to more people now. How long has it been out?
Aren't you getting me here? 6 years, I think?
Yeah.
Something like that?
You know, and sometimes it just takes a while for something to really catch on. But people are starting to think, and at least my conversation with many people, they're starting to look at it more and more seriously as a publication they want to read. So.
Yeah, and the research shows, I mean, I think it's easy to look at anything that's paper nowadays and think that it's irrelevant. But the research shows magazines are different than newspapers. Magazines, they stick around. They sit on your coffee table. It's
that's
full
right.
color, and that's what Bishop Hurley wanted. It's something where you set it on your coffee table. The neighbors come over who aren't Catholic. They see this. They start flipping through it.
Absolutely.
And so on and so on, you know, which is a little different than, you know, of course, there are great dioceses, like the Archdiocese does their newspaper, and it's a great product, but really has a different mission.
Exactly. So here we are in all this process going on in the diocese. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Everything is not always perfect. We know that. If I had to ask you, what's your greatest challenge right now as a director of communications? What would that be?
Well, I I think it's my nature sometimes to want to make everybody happy.
Okay.
And that is so hard.
But you're a pleaser.
Well, that's when you really look inside yourself, I think. You know, and it I like to be fair. I like to make everybody happy. I like to, you know, I want to build bridges.
Right.
And it's tough sometimes, you know. And, you know, a great example is the Supreme Court decision, the Prop 8, the Defense of Marriage Act. And, you know, I mean, that's – talk about a divisive issue.
Exactly.
Even in our pews. And there are people sitting next to you who might think one thing, people sitting on the other side of you that might think something else.
Right.
It's a tough issue. You know, Bishop Walkowiak, he came out and he said, all right, well – here's what I believe. I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, and
right.
That's that. And we're not real happy with this decision. It sort of is what it is. And you know, he was asked by the media for those comments, for articles and websites, and for TV news reports.
Yes.
So he gave it, and of course there are going to be people who aren't happy with that,
mm-hmm.
and other people who fully stand behind it. You know, but it's really my job to kind of, you know, look at those online comments and to, as best I can, to try to answer questions, to try to, you know, I'm not an apologist, but I do try to explain, you know, well, this is what we believe, and
this
isn't changed for a millennia. You know what I mean?
Yes, of course.
This is kind of how it is. And
yes.
And if you expect your bishop to come out and say something other than that, then really that's probably not going to happen.
It always tickles me when they expect a bishop who is raised, he has been brought up to that level in the church, that he would have anything else but the heart of the church.
It is. But, you know, Deacon Jim, I want to, you know, I don't want people to be angry at me
right.
or my boss, who I admire. And so, yeah, so you kind of, that's a challenge. And knowing when to comment, when not, and you know,
yep.
every once in a while I'm kind of a big mouth, so every once in a while I get into it online with people. And, you know, it's hard to not get wrapped up in that.
It is.
But it's absolutely exhausting, you know.
You know, and it says in Matthew's gospel, I think it's chapter 10, it was where he said there'll be mother against daughter and father against son. You know, sometimes we have that obligation to stand in the truth, and yeah, a lot of the world's not going to like it, but it doesn't make us wrong. It just makes us kind of an island out there speaking the truth. And I would imagine that you have to try and buffer that at many times.
It is, and then you know, of course, it was maybe a few weeks after that that Pope Francis, somebody asked him about a homosexual priest, and
yes.
he made his comments. I mean, we all know about that. He, as we all know, he didn't really change anything. He didn't change church teachings with one interview,
right?
But there's no question that he took a different approach that we really hadn't seen before.
Right.
And of course, then people, what does the bishop interpret this, Bishop Walkowiak?
Exactly.
And he did. I mean, and so now we're all trying to kind of wrestle with what that means, and what is Pope Francis going to say next, and how's that all going to work? And you know, I'm like many involved, kind of in the middle of all this, trying to figure out what this all means.
And for you, particularly in the position you're in and really coming back solid into your Catholic faith, you're relearning it.
Yeah, in many cases that is the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's it's a challenge. I think I'm very, very lucky to have people around me that I can talk through these things with,
right.
And Bishop Walkowiak's one of them, you
yeah.
know, to be able to sit down with him and say, here's kind of what I'm dealing with, you know, I'm dealing with this, and I was in this world where I was in the sort of the most liberal of liberal worlds, right? If I hate to use words like that, but, you know, really very few people with families, very few people with a strong faith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's that world I was in, and now I work for the church, right, where you get all sorts of ends of the spectrum, and so I'm still making that transition a year later, and it's not always easy, but I'm lucky to have people that I can bounce that stuff off of.
Is the bishop's office pretty much open to you when you need to?
It is. He's very busy, and not that Bishop Hurley wasn't,
right.
but you know, it's like you know, somebody who's been on the job for 8 years versus somebody who's been on the
yeah.
job for 8 months.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just very busy. He's trying to meet everybody, so I don't get quite as much FaceTime with Bishop Walkowiak as I used to. But
yeah.
I still feel that I can walk in there at any time if I see him in there, and I truly believe he gets a look of joy on his face when I walk in, and I think we have a pretty good relationship.
Well, he knows that you've got a good question probably coming up.
Well, he's I think you should all know that Bishop Walkowiak did not have a smartphone.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no, no. No smartphone, no iPad. Of course, he had email. But and of course, we all gasped when we heard who our bishop was going to be and what his practices were, especially in the communications and technology realms. And but he's adapted. But he made a comment to me. He said that I've learned when my phone rings and it's from you, I should probably answer it. That's what he said. And I said, oh, you know, that's I appreciate that, Bishop.
Tell him, make it a priority, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's wonderful. So, Lindsay, as you're listening to all this, what are your plans now? How long are you going to be interning over there?
I'll be with the diocese for just a couple months.
Okay.
So just a semester.
Okay, just a semester. Mm-hmm. Now, you're still studying?
Indeed. Yep, I'm taking economics and Spanish courses as kind of enhancements to my communications degree.
Okay, and where are you taking that at?
Grand Valley.
At Grand Valley. Mm-hmm. And this will lead to another degree?
Potentially, but I'm going to be flexible because if more job opportunities come up or if, you know, my experience here leads to other opportunities, I'm willing to go and just see where life takes me. And education, I think I'll never regret the courses I take.
Absolutely.
But I'm not sure if there'll be a degree yet.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Carl.
Yes.
As we talk about the diocese, is there anything else that we need to be focusing on or looking for coming up in the diocese in the near future?
Well, beyond the evangelization campaign, and you know, I would encourage people to visit our website on social media, check us out. Now, what I would also say is, you know, really, as November hits, you're going to see these messages out there on social media. I would encourage you to retweet them. I would encourage people to post them on Facebook. I mean, we want to. We're very proud of them, and we would want people to spread that message when you see these things. I would also say, you know, encourage people on Facebook and Twitter to interact with us. We love it when people interact with us. Doesn't have to be positive. If you see something funny, let us know. We are not infallible, right? We want to know what's going on, and we're always trying to learn. You know, there are a lot of things my office does through the course of the year that I don't consider particularly interesting. They're not the sexy stuff, but you know, we coordinate stuff for the Catholic Foundation West Michigan, which helps so many people and really helps out our parishes. We coordinate the Bishop's Appeal, of course, the CSA stuff, and then, of course, statements throughout the year, be it Lent and Advent and all those kinds of things. The Red Mass just happened.
Yes.
Bishop Wachowiak put out a statement for Respect Life Sunday, which I believe is coming right up. I think that's this weekend. So, yeah, so that's important. And we help Bishop Wachowiak with some of that messaging.
Okay. So are you involved in all these things you talked about at some personal level?
Yeah, I am, yeah. Involved in all those things, really creative aspects of those things. So if it's, I've written a letter or a statement, Carl, how does it look? And I have somebody who I work with, Joanne Fox, who's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
She's the sort of like She counterbalances my personality, and she's an English she's addicted to English, to the English language. All those things that we work together to make sure all those statements. If we're going to put out a poster or a brochure, you know, we make sure it looks just right.
Okay.
And yeah, so throughout the year, anything creative, even Catholic charities, schools, you know, all the parishes will come to me. Hey, we have something that we think could be newsworthy. What do you think? And we'll work with them to invite the media or put out statements or whatever.
Okay.
And then there's all the bad stuff, right? I joke that I never like it when somebody walks into my office and shuts the door. But we're talking about 80 parishes. We're talking about 30 schools. We're talking about a lot of people. And you know, we're all
sinners. And there's issues.
We're all sinners.
Yeah.
We're all sinners. And stuff happens. And somebody might die. Somebody might have to be terminated. Somebody might steal something. I mean, there's a lot of bad things that can happen, and it's my job to try to communicate that to people in the parishes. To if the news has to be involved, if police have to be involved, then it's our job to kind of coordinate and work with them.
Yeah, and that's the dark side of the. And I shouldn't say dark side, meaning it's evil, but it's the hard side of it.
It is, and we Bishop Hurley and I kind of had a. You know, even in our 1 year, we kind of had a little agreement that if it's bad news, I'll go on TV. If it's good news, you can go on TV.
Well, that's a fair deal. Right?
Yeah, fair deal for him. I don't know if it's a fair deal for me.
Yeah, I know. Now, and this ad campaign, are there any talks of any billboards?
No billboards. That's TV advertising time.
Okay.
Is Well, it's expensive.
Absolutely.
It's expensive. I'm not gonna mince words. I consider the resources I've been given extremely valuable, and they're gifts from the Catholics in our diocese. That's really what we're talking about.
Exactly.
So between the TV and the radio advertising, and then the cost of just producing the spot, billboards aren't part of the plan. Yeah. But you know, maybe in the future. And you know, the other thing, Deacon Jim, is it's hard to quantify the success of something like this.
It is.
You know, and I'm relying, I mean, really what I'll do is I'll reach out to our parishes and I'll reach out to them and sort of get their impression. But we hope to do well. And if we do it, if it goes well, who knows? Maybe we'll do something like this again.
When you do ads on television and radio, do you have the ability to pick the time that they'll run?
Yes, some amount of flexibility. Now, If I believe with the TV ads, those are during news time, during the WZZM news time.
Okay.
I believe in the evening, so don't quote me
when
on that.
When people are more apt to be watching.
Yeah, I mean, but of course, everything comes at a price, and, you know, you have to sort of negotiate that with them.
Right.
But yeah, we have the ability to pick times.
Will that go on your local TV channels, or will that also be on cable?
No, well, that's a good question. Local WZZM, which is just your ABC station,
right?
And then I believe they also give us spots on there. They have like a weather, like a digital weather channel.
Yeah,
you
yes,
know what I mean?
Yes.
It's just all it shows is weather stuff,
right?
And so those will be on there as well. And they'll give us links and banners and stuff on their website.
Okay.
So when you play a I want to watch the news story about the car accident, right?
Exactly.
When you play that, you have to sit through that little 15-second commercial. A shortened version of this will also play there.
Okay, wonderful. You know, I just want Catholics to rest assured, this is your money in action. This is really our money working for our Catholic Church to really bring others into in the fullness of understanding of who we are. Is that right, Carl?
I agree with that. Yeah, and it's hey, listen, you know, there's a million ways to spend $1 million.
Yes,
there really
it is.
It's tough, but we got to do something, folks. We got to do something, and we have to stay relevant. We have to be part of the conversation.
Right.
And if you want to do that, you can't be Holy Family Radio is fantastic. It's a blessing, but you can't just be on Holy Family Radio.
No.
You got to be out there, and this is one way to do that.
Right. And you really have to reach out to all the people.
That's right.
Sometimes we know that certain radio stations are only for certain people, and we're not able to get the people that we really want to try and reach. So it's important that, at least with television, people are going through the channels and looking and seeing it.
Yeah, I certainly don't mean to imply that non-Catholics aren't listening to Holy Family. They are, but you're talking about something a little different when you're on WLAV, right?
Exactly.
You know, that's something a little different. I mean, those are people not expecting to hear protecting life in all its stages,
yes,
and body and blood. They're not expecting that stuff. So,
right.
And that's not all bad to get it on there too.
But you know, the power of that is hearing that in the least place that you expect it, and that it really starts a kind of a provocative thinking in your mind that they're really reaching out to me. They're really making an effort to make a statement that something I should be listening to, or perhaps thinking about, and wandering, and really having this sense of awe as to what it is they're trying to speak to me about.
One of my mentors at the diocese is Father John Gainey,
of course,
who's the rector of the cathedral.
Yes.
And talk about a guy who's been there and done that, and really he's been working with media for decades.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a director of communication all over the country, and he truly believes that. I mean, that's his thing. You got to be where the people are.
Yeah.
And you know, and that wasn't always the popular way to go. I mean, some my understanding is that years ago that's not really how we were thinking.
Exactly.
You know, but yeah, that's things have changed a little, I think.
The church has really come to an understanding that we need to reach out to all, not just our Catholic people, but to everybody who has been hurt. Many of Catholics have left the church because they've been hurt. Some Catholics have left because they've never been really catechized or even evangelized properly. And so the church really has an obligation, and I say that as an obligation, to reach out to those that we've lost and to reach out to those who are marginal.
Yeah, I look at that differently than because we're talking about one-on-one experiences here. That's mass communication is great, but we're really talking about one-on-one experiences when we talk about what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And I've had more awkward conversations with people in the last 6 months than I have. You know, just it's when people say, "Oh, I go to this church and I don't like it," or "I used to be Catholic, I'm divorced." And I mean, just stopping and saying, "Hey, talk to me about it. What's going on?" You know.
But these type of commercials can foster that type of conversation.
I truly believe that.
Yeah. It's wonderful. You know, I want to thank you both for being here today. It's a great conversation because The people in the diocese need to know what's going on within the walls of Cathedral Square. And from the sounds of it, there's a lot of dynamics going on in there, and it's wonderful to hear. And I just pray that God will continue to work in both of your ministries, that he'll bring you closer to him and closer to the truth in the Catholic Church. And again, it's a privilege to have you here, Carl. It's a privilege to have you here, Lindsay. We'll be praying for both of you. And I would just ask that God would bless you and continue to walk in the light of his presence.
Thank you very much. I hope to be back.
Yeah. Praise be to God. Thank you for
all
being
right,
here.
Thanks, Deacon Jim.
Thank you both so much.
All right.
You've been listening to Living the Catholic Life with our host, Deacon Jim Thorndale, as he interviewed Carl Apple, the Diocesan Director of Communications, and Lindsay Wilbur. Thank you for tuning in to Holy Family Radio.